Welcome everybody back to another episode of Mark's Remarks. It's been a bit of a long time since I've done an episode of one of these. Had spring break, had a lot of the ending of the basketball season and winter sports was coming to a close. So it's been a little hectic, but I'm happy to be back on the mic, getting back into the swing of things with this show. And now, for the first show following spring break, I'm continuing my French Connection interview series with the Rhode Island women's basketball program. And I'm joined by one of the more seasoned veterans on this program, another French woman from this team. I'm joined by forward Hawa Kumara. Hawa, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's just like we said a second ago. It's crazy that the year is slowly coming to an end. It's still wild that basketball is finished and my last basketball season covering you guys and the men's team here at URI is over. So it's definitely a little weird, but I'm happy that I get to sit down and talk to you today and learn a little bit more about your experiences with this program, because you've been around for a lot of the highs and lows that this program has seen in recent years, and especially the highest of highs, as we will get into in a little bit. But how I've been starting a lot of these episodes is I want to really turn back the clock and I want to learn how you got into basketball in the first place, because basketball is a game that in France we've seen that it's continuing to grow and it's becoming ever more popular year after year. But I want to learn, just how did you fall into this sport? Was it a family thing, or was it just something that when you were little you were like, I like this, I want to play this?
My story is a very funny story. So my parents always been in sport, run sport and everything. They love sport. For them, it's really important to have like this education of home and this education of the sport and everything. So my dad did soccer, my mom did track and field and a little bit of volleyball. I'm the oldest siblings. So I started, I did track and field. And I remember I didn't like it because I was like, I don't know, it's cold outside, I don't want to run and everything. So then I was like, I want to try something else. And my parents was like, sure, what you want to try? And I remember I had like a gym complex next to my house. And the thing, they had like a swimming pool. So I was like, I want to try swimming. So I was like, okay, let's do it. My parents was like, okay, let's do it. And the deal was like, my parents were busy at the time. They were working a lot. And the deal was, so the street is a pretty long street. And the deal was, I drop you off in front of the street and you walk and you get to the gym and the swimming pool. And I remember every time, like, the swimming pool was closed for whatever reason. It's so random, but I remember a couple of times of like the swimming pool was closed. And so what I was doing is calling my parents, oh, it's closed. And my parents was like, okay, I'm going to pick you up in like 10 minutes. So I'm waiting 10 minutes and I remember in front of the swimming pool, they had like a gym. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a look and everything. And I see people playing basketball. And I remember it's like a basketball school, like you call it in French. So like little, like people of my age, girls and everything. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking and everything. And I'm spending my time, the 10 minutes by the time my parents go, come pick me up, I'm looking and everything. And then my dad is like, do you want to play basketball? Because since the swimming pool is closed, so let's do basketball in the same complex. And I was like, sure, why not? And so this is how I started basketball. And yeah, just because the swimming pool was closed. And I always thought it was a really funny story because it's so random. But now I'm here and I like it.
Yeah, I got to imagine that Tammy Reese and the rest of the program are thankful that that swimming pool was closed all those years ago. Were you always like tall for your age? Because you're one of the tallest members of this team. And it obviously in women's basketball, the taller you are, that gives you a considerable advantage. When you got into it, were you always tall when you were younger?
Not at all. I had like an average height. So I started at 11, so average height. Not really tall, and I remember it's around like around high school that I really grew up, and so even like I had to change the way I played and everything. So not really at first.
And so when you actually picked up the sport, how quick did you fall in love with it? Because I can imagine that you probably had to learn a little bit about the fundamentals and so on, but picking it up from a young age probably made that a little bit easier. But was it like the second you started playing, you were like, yeah, this is awesome, I want to do this?
I loved it because for once it was a team sport. So because I did the track and field and then I did swimming, and it was so lonely and everything. And for once it was a team sport and I really liked it because being around my teammates and everything. And basketball is fun for a kid, you know, like running around, passing the ball, making basket. It's always like a kind of a immediate reward when you have basketball, when you score a basket, you're happy. And when I was running and everything, it's not that the same happiness. And so I really loved it. Really loved it.
And so then how quickly did you pick it up competitively? Because from the conversations that I've had with a few of your teammates, it's when you pick it up at a young age, you have to start quickly making those decisions of how much do you want to commit to basketball versus how much do you want to commit to school. So at what point did you really start like putting all your eggs in this basket, so to speak, of wanting to play basketball competitively? Yeah.
So, like I said, I started at 11, and 11 is pretty late in France. Like, usually people are starting around, like, 6, 7. So, all my teammates, I remember at the time, they're like, I started basketball at 4, 5. So, I started at 11, and, like, in 1 year, I had, like, to make decisions in terms of what club you want to play for, if you want to go to, like a school, like, doing a student athlete thing. And like within 1 year, I was like, okay, let's do it. And then, so I started to be like, to do like, what do we call it? Like region selection. So you take the best young player in the region and you guys doing tournaments and everything. And so I picked it up really quickly.
How supportive were your parents of this decision? Because you mentioned how they were really trying to focus on academics as well. How much did they play a role in that choice?
They loved it. Like, as long as you love it, we love it too. We love it too. And also just make sure like the school is still something. But yeah, as long as you love it and you're glad and you're happy and everything. And they, as I said, like they really taught me how like they really were into like this mindset of we want the education that you get at home from us, but also the education that sports give you. And so they're like, as long as you love it, we love it too.
And Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that education at home? What did they mean by that?
Okay, so at home, you know, I have my siblings and everything, so it's more like about like respect and everything. So they're gonna teach you the basic, but I feel like they were also like aware that when you go outside and we play sport and everything, it's only like the sport spirit. You have the coaches about you. You have another like adult figure other than your parents and everything. So it's more like about like kind of applying what I had at home on the sport, being respectful, listening to what the coaches are telling you, say hi to stranger, be respectful to your teammate, even like a sport, like even the respect of the jersey and everything. I remember like you get to wash your jersey and my mom was like, no, you got to respect it and everything. Just put it on I remember I had a shelf with my jersey, the white, the blue. I was playing in blue almost all my life, pretty much. But so I remember like I was playing in blue, so I had the blue, the white and everything. It's just like learning how to apply what the my parents were telling me to my siblings and everything on the court and then outside at school too. But having the extra layer of at sport too made like a triangle of education, and they really loved it and they really, really emphasized that towards me and my siblings.
That's fascinating, because when I spoke to Coach Reese, she talked a lot about the character aspect of how she goes about her recruiting, and that especially when Coach Amadou and is giving her recommendations on players to look at from France, one of the biggest things that she mentioned was she wants to see the character and how you all act, not only by yourselves, but then in regards to how you act with your family and your parents and so on. And it's interesting to hear the how big of a focus that is coming from not only just your family, but from Inez, Palmier, like the rest of the players who I've spoken to. It all seems to be that same sort of style. Is there more of just a familial value in families like yours coming from France, or is that something that is just what your family has brought over from generations moving down?
I think it's not something like from France. I feel like it's just a common point between us two. Because like you said, like the coaches like the fact that we understand that, okay, it's on the court, but also off the court and everything. And I think like it's just they just gather people that just had the same common point and the common point. And I don't think it's something from France especially. It's just because they picked us and I think they picked the right people and we just have the same common point. And it's just so funny.
It certainly is. And so moving on now into you actually playing competitive basketball, how were you able to achieve that sort of athletic and academic balance, knowing that as you're getting up there in the age groups, you have to start taking basketball a little bit more seriously. How did you find yourself balancing playing basketball and really trying to excel at it while making sure you maintained good standing at school?
Okay, so really early in my career, so around like 13, 15, I got accepted in the school, and basically the school, like it's a school, the week you sleep at school and you do like a little bit what I do right now. So I've been in this system of being like representing a school, going at school and then coming back and practicing everything within the school. So it's like it helped me understand that it's not only basketball, it's just both. And they provide the structure of like, okay, so you have your schedule and basketball is in the schedule and you see school and everything. So even like mentally, it's just showing that school and basketball is equal. You know, I remember like you need to stay eligible and everything, having good grades, because it's not only on the basketball, it's just outside and everything. So really early, the people around me and everything, and then even my parents are like, okay, if you want to go to the school, you go, but you got to understand that studies and education is important, like basketball. So really early, I understood that, okay, it was the same level. It's at the same level. If I won't be able to succeed at basketball, I got to do the same as school. So yeah, pretty early, I understood that concept.
Did having like an early introduction to that sort of structure of being away from home, staying at school, and then doing the basketball and like in that sort of in that week long format, did that make the transition easier for when you ultimately decided to come to URI?
For sure. It made it easier. So before 4 years ago, it's been a long time, 4 years ago before I came here. So I was like the same in the structure when I was in high school. You just play for the school, you go at school and then you play basketball. And then like during the vacation in France, so it's like every 3 months you get 1 month of vacation. I used to come back to my parents. But yeah, pretty early, pretty easy, because, you know, living in community and living with your parents is really different. Living with all girls that you don't know from different background and everything is really different. So it made it easy for me. The only difference is the country, you know, the country, the language, and everything. But other than that, I'm used to be away from home, kind of. So I'm used to have, like, this reflex of like calling my parents every day, like texting, shooting texts to my siblings and everything, all the type of stuff. So it wasn't like hard for me, and it made it easier.
When you were doing this traveling back and forth in France, how far were you staying away from where you grew up?
So the first school, the earliest, it was like 1 hour away. And then when I got to high school, it was like 5 hours away. So it was pretty a long time. I remember I used to take the train and everything. But again, like this kind of experience and everything helped me grow up. And it's not that I grew up faster than the other kids, maybe a different way. And maybe I'm more mature in the kind of, okay, pretty early I understood how to take the train and everything, how to take care of my paperwork. And then, okay, can you guys sign it? Send it to my parents, they can sign it with responsibilities. I remember, yeah, like I said, the paperwork, like I used to, what they say to the school, they give you the paperwork, you used to fill it out and then send it to your parents and everything. So all kind of little reflex and little like thing that helped me today. I learned it pretty early.
And when I spoke to Maya and Palmier especially, they both sort of talked about how when they traveled to some of these academies, they ended up meeting each other and meeting a bunch of other players coming from across the country that have eventually gone on to play college basketball in the United States or gone on to play professionally in Europe. When you look back on that experience, like now 4 or 5 years removed from that, how interesting is it to know that when you arrived there, you didn't really know who any of these other athletes were, but to know that many years down the line, you're sharing a locker room in the U.S. with some of these players?
It's crazy. This is crazy. So it's funny that you mentioned Maya, because I went in the same high school as her. So so basically, we were in the same high school. We played together. So I know Maya for a long time. And then she went into the U.S. And then I was like, where are you going? She was like, in the U.S. I was like, oh, well, just go and I'll see what I do, you know. And being like, how we end up with the same structure and everything, it's just so funny. Even Ines and everything, I play with her in the French national team. Palmi, I heard a lot about her. We talk a few times before. It's just like randomly you come across this player and you're like, okay, what you gonna do in your future? I don't know. I don't know neither. And this is the future and we're all together. So it's just so funny.
Does it add that sense of comfortability knowing that you were in essentially the same position as the rest of those players? Like you're still trying to figure it out?
Yeah, for sure. Because a lot of people are gonna ask you questions pretty early and be like, "What you gonna do for the future? Sport is not like stable, kind of. Women's sport is still developing and everything." Because I remember like women's sport is growing tremendously and it's just amazing to see it. But I remember like a long time ago when I was trying to figure out what I was doing, people were like, "Yeah, women's sport, blah blah blah." It's just not quite there and everything. And today, just seeing it, it's just unbelievable. And just yeah, it was kind of comforting that okay, she don't know what to do neither, so we're just gonna figure out and that's it, you know. So yeah.
And from your position, how has the game itself sort of grown over in France? Because that's something that's piqued my curiosity is that over the past few years, like we've seen France continue to excel like in the Olympics and everything. And it's obvious that basketball is growing at an exponential rate over there. I mean, just from your experience being a part of those academies and growing up through this system and now looking back on your time like after your college career, what how have you seen it sort of evolve and grow back overseas?
Before, when we were talking about like the WNBA and everything, like players from France playing in the WNBA and everything, there were like maybe one or two that did it. Because like the step between the French league, even if the level, to me the level is almost the same. Like the WNBA is amazing, have the one of the some of the best players in the world, kind of in the world. And France, we have this level, and the step was seems really big before. It seemed like almost impossible. It was like you have to be like one of the best player, and you have to be known, and you have to be a little bit grown, like maybe like 27 or something, and not a lot of young player used to have like I don't know camp offer and everything, training camps offer and everything. And today, like the number of French player that like took a step in the WNBA is just growing and growing again. You see the Olympic, you see now a player that like 22, 23, they get camping the training camp offers just because they play in France. So I see that like people in the WNBA and everything are just like now looking to reference, looking and like, oh, what's happening in France? See this player, she's more. And so it's amazing to see how like this gap just got just smaller and smaller and almost inexistent.
And is the option of traveling to the US to play basketball, but then also get that education, is that becoming a much more appealing option that, I mean, you've seen people back home like really taking that as like, oh, this is a serious opportunity now. Now, more or less, it's not just like, oh, you know what? Maybe I can go do that. Now it's like, okay, this is a goal that I want to set out for.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I've seen it in the young players and everything. Now it's an option. Before when I came and everything was more like a kind of seen as a risk. We don't know. Before that I came, like it wasn't like a pretty aware that people could take like that step and just going to the US and everything. But the more we go and the more like people are just going through this process, that now I see that some people are like, okay, me next year I'm sure going to the US. Compared to me a few years ago, I was like, I don't even know if we can do it. So it's just so it's amazing to see.
And so at that point where you're trying to figure out exactly what your next step was going to be, whether it was going to the US, whether it was playing pro or so on, at what point did you meet Coach Amadou? Because from what I've gathered, he is integral in all of this recruiting and is really at the forefront of the European recruiting for this program. And everyone seems to have a different story about how they met him and the interactions that they've had. But what were your first interactions like with Coach Amadou?
I remember, so like I said, Maya was in the same high school as me, and at some point it was the end of the season and everything, and I'm like, Maya, what you gonna do next year and everything? She's like, oh, me, I'm gonna go to the US and everything, because I remember it's something that she wasn't quite sure yet, so she like kind of kept it undercover, and I asked her, I was like, what you gonna do? And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna go to the US and everything. I was like, okay, me, I'll see in 2 years. Then during my last year, I remember my year recontacted me and like she said, yeah, my coach wanted to talk to you and everything. What you think about it? He saw you playing in the French national team and he thought your game was cool and everything. So he wants to talk to you. Can I give him his number? And I was like, can I give him your number? And I was like, yes, let's do it. And this is how we met, kinda.
And as those conversations continued, what was his pitch to you at first and how he wanted to explain what the program was like from a player perspective? What was his initial pitch to you?
It was like here it's like a family program and everything. We don't only care about like basketball. We also want you to grow as a woman and everything. And then it was like in France when you go pro, it's more difficult to have your degree because like the practice and everything are a little bit like getting in the way of school. Here it's like a structure. Everything is made around. He told me it was like it's like what you're doing right now is just in the US and everything. And I was like, okay, like it's really interesting.
And then what was his message to your parents and your family afterward? Because I can imagine that it's probably a little bit easier to convince a player to make this decision, seeing all of the possibilities that there are. But I can imagine that it's a little bit more difficult to convince the family, considering that they're going to be sending the child 3,000 miles away across an ocean. What were those conversations like that he had with your parents?
Again, it was like it's a structure where she can have a degree, even a master's degree, and the basketball is not getting in the way of school. Like I said in France, like when you get pro, it's really hard to get the school with the basketball because they kind of getting in the way of each other. And it was like here, it's a structure. Everything is made for that. She won't have to pay and everything because my parents was like, "How about the money? Like, you know how like in France school is free. Here we heard that it's not free and everything was like it's all taken care of and everything." And also it was like, like we don't only care about like the basketball player that she is. We also want her to grow as a woman and be independent and start like taking care of herself in a kind of way that she got to figure out some stuff and everything, and we're gonna help her do that. So yeah.
Was it a quick agreement for them, or was it something that they had to really kind of sit on and think about as a couple?
They had to think. They had to think and everything. It's just not. It's not 5 hours away anymore in train. It's like in the plane, it's 7 hours away. So it's just a big step and everything. And I remember my parents and Maya's parents talked a lot about it and everything. They wanted to hear what happened for her, how was it and everything. So it's not like they say no, but it was like, okay, we'll think about it, just go through the process and everything. For me, it was like a yes, like I'm ready to go. And for them, it's like we're gonna look around and everything. I remember googling some stuff, question pa like parents questioned me. I was like, guys, it's just about basketball and everything. They were like, no, it's more than basketball. We have to figure out everything. Even the healthcare was a question. Like in France, it's free here. Like, what about she if she's getting hurt and everything? So they took care of all the little questions that I didn't even think about it. And the more that they talk around, they call coach like numbers of time and everything, and just they just like, okay, now we see the picture and now we're ready to go. But that wasn't a yes immediately.
Had you guys heard about the University of Rhode Island prior to this? And because something that I've learned as I've been going through this is that Rhode Island, albeit a little bit more in the past couple of years, but over Tammy Reese's short tenure in URI, it seems that the program has garnered a bit of a reputation in France as more players have continued to go through and more players that have worked with Coach Reese and Coach Amadou that have either come through Syracuse or were there for that first initial years. Did you had ever hear anything about the program beforehand, or is that something that's kind of gradually increased since you've arrived?
I think the first time that I heard about the program is when Maya talked to me about it. But then I think it grew progressively because I remember when I went there, Manu MP were already here. And so they didn't came back from France yet. And I think it was the first year generation, Manu and MPR, the first generation that did the process in Rhode Island and came back and make the proof in the pros and everything. And I feel like since they got there in France, now people are talking about it. Like I remember watching the games and everything. People are like, where are they from? They're like, oh, they went in the United States, they went in Rhode Island and everything. So now I think it's like progressively, like people are starting to talk about it as people are coming back from the process and everything, they're starting to be aware of Rhode Island.
Do you think that that is pushing Rhode Island more toward the forefront of that American dream sort of college athletics option? Whereas, like, you obviously, when you think of college basketball, you think of like the major SEC schools, the major ACC schools, like those big Power Five schools, and Rhode Island being essentially a mid-major, you don't get that much attention, at least in the United States. But are you now like seeing Rhode Island be one of those schools where it's like that's maybe one of the first ones that kind of jumps to mind in terms of women's basketball over there?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Cause even like we're talking about the big conference and everything, but again, like it's a big step. And I feel like the thing with Rhode Island is like it's a mid-major school, but it's pretty high. I think we're one of the highest mid-major like conference and everything. It's just so great to be like, okay, it's not a big step, a giant. It's not like a too big step, and it's just like mid-major and everything. So I think yeah, Rodin can be like an option over plenty of school in people's mind in France.
And so, when you decided to commit to URI, what was your first conversation like with Coach Reese? Because I imagine that you maybe didn't get the chance to meet her in person immediately until you got over here. But if you had the chance to speak on the phone or over a video call, what were your first impressions of her like? Because she is a very particular character, to put it lightly.
So I remember I didn't get a chance to visit anything because of COVID. It was still like the countries where I was still recovering from the COVID and everything. And so I remember being really stressed because I'm about to do like a 30-minute conversation in English, and I never did that before. So I remember popping on Zoom and everything, and she was here, and I saw her, and the first thing that I said in my mind is like, I love her hair. I remember saying that to myself. And so we talk and everything. And so the first thing that popped up, she was like, I don't know, every answer was like just a burst of energy. And for French people, it's just like we're very like a monotone person. When I talk in French, it's really like a monotone tone. And her, it was like a burst of energy every time she was talking everything. And I remember like, whoa, like okay, it's cool and everything. It's almost like in the movies, kind of. That was funny. Almost like in the movie, like she had so much energy and everything. And I remember the patience that she had when I was trying to express myself. She's like, okay, can you repeat and everything? She was really patient and everything. And so I was like, yeah, this is the first thing that I thought about her.
And how did that then compare to when you first saw her in person for the first time, like during a practice? Was there any sort of difference? Did you get any sort of like shock? Like when you got to your first practice, you're like, whoa, okay, this a little bit more intense than I might have thought.
Not at all. I remember like the first time I saw her, she hugged me and everything, and she heard me, she hold me tight and everything, and I was like, okay, I'm not surprised. It's what I was expecting.
And what was that initial couple weeks like when you actually got to campus and you started meeting some of your American teammates? Because I can imagine that that language barrier must have been a little bit difficult to overcome in that short term, because I can't imagine that you maybe studied English a little bit but weren't consistently speaking it. But during that first initial couple of weeks when you're doing summer training camp, what was it like getting to know your American counterparts?
That was like I remember being like kind of shy and everything because you're trying to express what you think and everything. You're like, oh, I don't know how to say that word in English, so I'm just gonna try to go around and everything. But I remember it was kind of easier, I think, like because Maya was still here, Manu MP was still here. So I remember what I used to do is like getting the conversation with them, having Maya next to me or a French person next to me was easier, so I can express myself. And then I was like, I don't know how to say that word, and she just give it to me. And then I'm like trying to get my sentence and everything. But I remember people being pretty like really patient. They're like, okay, can you repeat? Oh, no, this is not how you say it. Is it that way and everything? And I wasn't. It was hard, not gonna lie, because it's a new language and everything, but it wasn't like scary or anything, because I knew that people were like pretty patient and pretty okay with me like taking my time, doing mistakes and everything. So like I'm doing a sentence like, okay, I didn't understand, but I think you meant that, so can you repeat and everything? And it's just the thing is, so it was cool. I remember it wasn't scary, but it was difficult.
And one of the funny things that I remember Coach Reese talking about was that a lot of basketball terms do not directly translate from French to English and vice versa. Did having to essentially switch over to English on the basketball court, did that at all kind of help speed up your ability to learn English? And
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Because a lot of words doesn't translate. We're still using a lot of like basketball English word in basketball. So when like being on the basketball floor and hear them talking was easier than talk about like the normal life and everything. Like when she was like, okay, you got a back door, okay, I know that word and everything. But still, like I had a couple of expressions that she was saying. I was like, okay, what does that mean and everything? And so again, like having like French player, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Whatever. And even like the American player, they was like, you know, that means that you gotta go around this cone or whatever. And so like really, like the basketball floor was easier than the regular life to getting used to English.
Yeah, and then that was kind of what I wanted to lead into. Like on the flip side then, what was it like actually getting into class, like being on campus? Because I know that URI has an ever-growing French department, so there are a fair amount of people on campus that have an understanding of French, whether they're fluent or not. But I can imagine that it must have been fairly daunting having to go into class, maybe classes by yourself and where you don't really understand English that well. But how was that first sort of semester getting comfortable and actually getting into the academics of being a student athlete?
So I remember I used to spend a lot of time in study hall because like helping around and everything. My athletic director, she's amazing. She knows, like, she made through this process of having international students. So it's really, again, like this type of patience that people had, like being a big understanding of, okay, I'm not from this country, like talking slowly, having like being more like gentle. It was really helping, like very helpful for me. And then in class, I remember I used to record my classes for the first like a couple of months. Because it's not so much about like the wording or everything, even if it was really specific. But I remember my classes didn't require like a translation. I know like in biology, like the words, the specific word can be like hard to understand. But me, it was like communication and everything, so that was cool. But it's just like the speed at what people talk, because she cannot slow down just for one international in the class. So I remember I used to record my classes and then trying to listen back and everything. And so also like the coaches like recommend me to, even if you just saying like a sentence to the teacher, but just make him aware or make her aware that, okay, you're an international, really help me too. But I remember recording and then having like to take my time to listen back to the thing, and it really helped me learning English. But yeah, that it takes a couple of months to get used to the speed at what people are talking and everything, but then it's just okay. Like, you get used to it.
I can only offer the most sincere congratulations for being able to actually get through that while still being able to play basketball competitively. I can imagine that what I was going to talk about next, the fact that you were redshirting your freshman year probably made the acclimation process a little bit easier, so you weren't like constantly having to prepare for game weeks and more or less you had a little bit more time to dedicate getting comfortable in the U.S. But just during that season, what was that like for you? Because I can imagine that you're still a very young, still like a raw talent that they want to continue to develop. And then when they had that conversation about having you redshirt for that first season, what was their overall plan that they described to you when they brought that up?
So redshirt was like, on the basketball floor, it was like, okay, you can rest sure you're going to take your time. You're not going to have pressure of like learning the plays and everything. You just can like focus more in the school and just like also we have a scout team. So it's just a team that just helping the player preparing for the game. And I was in the scout team. And basically what they did, they told me, it's like, okay, you can basically do whatever you want as long as you do what the player needs, but then you can take the opportunity that you want. Because it was like no pressure at all, because even if you miss a basket, even if you do a mistake and everything, it's not impacting the team directly. And just, yeah, that's what they told me. They told me, yeah, you're going to be in the scout team. Of course, you're going to have a lot of workouts and everything, which I did. And that was helping. That was helpful in the sense that I still felt that I got a full year, even though I wasn't playing and everything. I remember I used to work out before the games and everything, and just I still had a full year. So that was the point. And also the point was like, you're just saving a year, like you can get a master after that in like a couple of years. So yeah, that was the 2 points, is like saving the years and just having no pressure on the floor at all. Like just you playing a scout team and everything, you can do whatever, and then we're going to fix it after. But it's just, that was that all.
And it's clear that you developed a lot as a person during that year, obviously being able to become comfortable enough to hold this interview in perfect English. I got to give you credit for that too. This is great. But in terms of your overall basketball development, how do you feel you developed during that redshirt year? Because I can imagine that you may not have had obviously didn't have game experience to really put a lot of stuff to the test. But in terms of either working out individually with some of the coaches or just being a part of that scout team and really learning from a lot of these older forwards, how do you feel your game developed before you actually made your debut on the court?
So that was really, really, which is cool about it. It's like, it's really individual, because what all of them are doing is like doing individual work. Like we were two, so me and Sophie Sen. So it was just about me and her. So it was like really individual and everything. I worked like on really like details of my game, like even the shooting, the finishing and everything. It was like really like detailed, because it's just individual and kind of my games when I could like express what I did and everything. It's just what was practice. And when you get the point that practice is every day and my workout is every day, it was really like easy to me. Like, let's say you work out before and you take what you did before and you just apply it on the floor at practice. And then if there is some stuff that you didn't understand, okay, but you have workout tomorrow and you're gonna practice tomorrow. So it was just like really detailed and like, yeah, something around me and around Sophie Sen, because it was just like us two and that's it. So it really helped me like getting to that detail work that I still feel today.
And with all of that intense work and really seeing your overall craft start to improve, what was your confidence like going into your redshirt freshman season? Because that was objectively the most successful season that this program has ever had. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I'm curious, knowing that you're coming out of a redshirt year, but there are still a number of players ahead of you in the pecking order at your position. Mm-hmm. But what was your confidence like going into it, knowing that, all right, this is my first opportunity to actually get minutes on the court and show what I can do?
So I was like, let's do it. Like, the coaches already know me. They know what I do well. They know what I need to work on and everything. And it was just really easy to do it, because also I had like the pace of the game, because I redshirted, and so I know like kind of, yeah, the pace of the game, the culture here and everything. So yeah, it really gave me confidence. And I had, again, it's like, it's almost like I had no pressure, because I was like, okay, just if I do mistake, I know what, like I know how they're going to handle it and everything. I know how I'm going to handle it. I know like I have these resources and I have these coaches and I can do film and I can do work and everything. So it was like a, yeah, no pressure kind of type of situation.
And so during that season, you averaged like just over 10 minutes a game, and it obviously culminated in a program first regular season title, co-champions with UMass, and then making a deep run in the Atlantic 10 tournament. But just when you look back on that season, knowing that you may not have contributed as much in terms of points, but you were still getting significant minutes and you were able to end your first true season in Rhode Island with silverware, just How do you look back on that season, knowing all the work that you had to put in and really knowing, again, at that point, what was a little bit of a risk actually coming to Rhode Island in the first place? How was it vindicating for you to know that that was how your first season ended?
That was just so cool, because it was like my role and the role of the new player that wasn't playing that much and everything, even though I had like 10 minutes. It's just like you're just here to make like people better. You just gotta compete and you just gotta be a sponge and everything. And so I had no pressure, but at the end you still feel like you participate in that winning, because a lot of people were like, oh, but I didn't play that much. I don't really feel that the winning belonged to me, but it was like my part of the work, kind of the most part. It was at practice and everything, and even that, like, I know, and we stayed and everything, and even the players that were here, and when we won, we realized that it was just the overall like work and everything. Like the people that practice, the people that game, we just all work together, and it's just like kind of feel a sense that okay, like okay, I took the risk, but like it just was a reward, kind of. You're like, okay, I see what like the success can look like and everything, and we had a success, and it was just, it felt like a little bit like, yeah, it felt rewarding, and just then it gave me a lot of hope for the future, because I was like, yeah, this is what can I do. And yeah, it was really like helpful and hopeful too.
And after that season, both for you and for the rest of the team, I'm curious, what was the mentality like in terms of leading into the following season, 2023-24? obviously you had spent that redshirt year, you were kind of playing with like a bit of a chip on your shoulder because you want to prove that you're capable of contending with the squad and probably brimming with confidence. But considering that was the first title and considering how well you guys did in the A-10 tournament and making it into the WNIT and that you're getting that first program taste of what March can offer, how did the program transition into the following season? What was the mindset? What were the messages that the coaches were giving you? Did anything change?
So like before we knew we were able to do it, but now like the message was like, okay, we did it. So let's do it again. We know what winning looked like. We know what the practice looked like when we were champion and everything, when we coach champion and everything. So just let's do it again because we kind of have the blueprint and just trying to do it again. That was the message.
And so you go through that season, you start starting a few more games. Tell me, what your first start, when Coach Reese gave you the nod, knowing that you were going to be making your first like true making your first starting five for Rhode Island, what were the emotions like for you at that point? Because it was a very long time coming, and to know that you had gone from a red shirt to making a few appearances off the bench late and middle of games to knowing that, okay, now they trust me enough to start and contend from the opening tip-off. What was that like for you?
It brings a lot of confidence. It brings a lot of confidence. You're like, okay, like the coaches understood what I'm capable of, and I'm like capable, like I'm just like good enough in a sense to do it. And it's just like it brings a lot of confidence. And now you're like, okay, I'm feeling great and everything. I'm just trying to play harder and everything to prove that the coach, okay, this is the right choice, and brings a lot of confidence.
And so you grabbed your first start versus Loyola Chicago that year and then immediately followed it up with another start versus Richmond. And so at that point, did you start to feel that your overall role in the eyes of the coaches was beginning to change a little bit? Because it's clear that obviously that they had been wanting to develop you from the jump and that they had seen the potential in you to impact this team. But then at that point, once you start bagging a couple starts and you're getting more and more minutes, did you see your role sort of change before your very eyes?
Because so it shows that what I can be and who I can be in the future, you know. And so it shows that, okay, it's possible for me to go ahead and then now have like more and more star and just have being like a consistent starter. So it's just in my head, I was like, okay, I can do it. I can now the work that I'm putting in, I just gotta to double it to be sure that now I'm being in like a constant starter. So it's just really helpful, and it's really like. It's like kind of a reward, if I can say that, of the work that you put in before and just showing that you're on the right path.
And when you look at how that season transpired, obviously it wasn't the best during the regular season, but you guys made an incredible run in the conference tournament, losing out in the final to the number one seed in the tournament, Richmond. But one of those things that was interesting to me was that season everyone picked you guys to just basically run away with the conference regular season title. And that was one of the first periods where it seemed that you guys really had to deal with some serious adversity, particularly during Atlantic 10 play. I mean, there were a couple stretches where you guys lost like three games in a row. And for a team that has such high standards, particularly high standards coming from Coach Reese, how did you as a collective sort of respond to that adversity? And what are some of the lessons that I guess you guys took, not only from the remainder of that season, but carried it over into this past season as well?
The main thing that I learned is like, you got to learn from your mistakes. It's like, even if we go like through like, let's say like three lost game in a row, you got to learn from your mistakes. It's like, you got to learn from your mistake, and you got to be able to apply it to, like, let's say we lost a game, we watch film, we say, okay, this is the mistake that I did, let's correct it for the next game. And okay, the next game, we still lost, but that's fine. The thing that we corrected, we keep it, and we learn from the next game, from this game. And then the next game, you're like, so it's like being able to stack the teaching to get to a point and be able to, like, still take a step towards what we want to get, even though like we're losing and everything, is still fighting against this adversity and still telling yourself, okay, we lost, but I'm not going to throw away everything that I did. There is some stuff that we did right, and this is not stuff, there is some stuff that we got to correct, and we're going to correct the stuff, even though, like, it's not going to, the result is not going to show immediately. You still got to work towards it. So I think it's the biggest thing that we'll learn this season.
And yourself and everyone else as a part of this program boast a very particular style of character, one that Coach Reese is obviously looking for in her recruitment. But I'm curious, do you ever notice a difference in how yourself and the French athletes or the international students may react to certain things versus the American students? In whether it's how you respond to a win, how you respond to a loss, how you respond to stuff in practice. Do you notice if there's ever, like, whether it's subtle or not, any differences that you've picked up on?
I don't think so, because, again, like, the coaches, they, I don't know how they did that, but they kind of recruit a certain personality that we all share. And it's just like, even though I'm from, like, we have a lot of international, not even from France. Like, we have French, we have Finland, we had India, we had Canada, we have Spain. And we have Americans too, and Americans, like, all across the country too. Like, I remember Madison was from Texas, Cissé was from Boston and everything. And it's just like, even though we all, like, from different places, we still have this common character trait that made us, like, going alone all together. It's like, even, like, when we hit adversity, we all said, okay, we're still going to learn from the mistake. We're still going to go through and everything. Even at practice, like, even if, like, we did a mistake at practice altogether, we all kind of have the same personality of, we all have the same kind of thought. We're like, okay, we did that bad, or we did a mistake. Let's just pick it up and go on. And I don't know how the coaches did that, but I think it's like a character trait that they're looking for when they recruit, and they just did it so well that at the end of the day, we all, like, committed to one goal, and that's why we're all thinking the same. So I will not say, like, yeah, I think we don't have kind of different reaction because, yeah, we all have this common character trait, and it's really funny, but it's the reality of it.
It's interesting to hear that, though, because I would expect that at least from players that are being recruited from their freshman year that are younger, and where, like, you can mold them in this sort of culture because you have so much time to develop them.
Yeah.
But the transfers too, that's very interesting because you're bringing in seasoned veterans. I mean, Dede Davis, Madison Haddix, Covington. I mean, those were players that were fifth, sixth year seniors that were coming in to be a part of this squad. When Coach Reese brought in transfers like that, that have a plethora of playing experience coming in from winning programs that want to, that are being brought in to make their sort of impact on this team and this program, what were those additions like as someone that's been with this program since your freshman year and is one of those more experienced veteran players in the locker room? What were those additions like to the overall culture of the team?
Yeah, it's amazing because they took this transfer and everything, and they came and they're still feeding the culture. Like, it was just like, they just bite right in. And I think, like, it's just, yeah, again, like, this character of being, like, being able to be a sponge and everything, and it just fall into this culture that it was just almost like they were here for a long time. Like, it was like everything that they said and everything, they just were, like, right on point because it was exactly what the culture and what Red Island is. And I feel like, I feel like, you know, during the recruiting process, like, I think the coach emphasized that. It's like, this is the culture and this is what you're going to have. And I feel they were like, okay, let's do it. And they did it. And it was just amazing to see that.
And so this past season, obviously, it ended just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I can imagine that it's probably still fresh on your mind considering that it came to an end so quickly. But it wasn't the most successful of years for the program, a little bit of a down year. But you were also named one of the team captains for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a testament to how much you've developed, not only as a player, but as a person as well, especially in the eyes of Coach Reese and Coach Amadou. Before we get into how this season sort of unfolded, when you were told that you were named a team captain, I guess, like, the same sort of thing before, what were your emotions like? Because I can imagine, and your thought process and so on, because I can imagine that when you hear that, it's, wow, I've really done a good job here, and I really have developed, maybe even beyond what you thought you had.
It's just like you realize you're like, okay, now it's getting real, and the coach not trusting me and everything. Like, yeah, like the work paid off, and the fact that, yeah, always about like in this culture and everything, always trust the coaches, and it's just like, okay, now like they see me as an important person and everything, and it's just like amazing. You're like, okay, let's do it, and it's just like, okay, now the coaches are trusting you and everything, so just let's do it, like let's go.
Was it a surprise?
Yes and no, because I was like, maybe I have my chance because I've been there for a long time, but also I was like, okay, maybe they don't see me as prepared, and I don't think, like, I was like, I can do it, but I don't think like I'm prepared, but that's fine, I'm gonna learn. And the coaches were like, okay, we trust that you're gonna do it, we trust that you're gonna learn and everything. So yeah, I was like, okay, just yeah, let's do it.
And this season, you went from starting 4 games, playing in all 34, 15 or so minutes per game, mm-hmm. to starting all 34 games and playing almost 30 minutes a game. So everything doubled, everything mm-hmm. tripled, your involvement absolutely skyrocketed. Were you prepared for that jump, considering all of the work that you had put in? Or was it at times like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. Things just went from 0 to 100 really mm-hmm. fast.
I was prepared, and I think back about like my freshman year and everything. It's just like all this process and everything, the trusting the process and all the work that I did my freshman year and my second year and everything. It's just now it's just like I gotta put in into work and everything, and I gotta show it and everything. It just helped me because I remember like I'm still using stuff that I learned my freshman year. And it's just like, okay, I was prepared. Now we just got to put in action. And now, okay, maybe like I thought I had the skill that I worked on my freshman year. But now like you see, you're like, okay, now I have different path of work. I need to work on different things and everything. But it's just like, I was prepared. And it's just like still an ongoing process of like, okay, now I did that, but there's something else that I have to work on. And it's just like, yeah, but I was prepared for sure.
And so this season, obviously, you started every single game. So you played a role in every single contest that this team took part in. But it was apparent that you guys had to really grind out every mm-hmm. result that you got. It was not there were very rarely games where you guys were going in and blowing mm-hmm. out a team by 40 points, which previous iterations of this program seemed to do, obviously, during that regular season championship win. And just how did that help you continue to evolve as a player and as a person, knowing that each game was not coming any easier, and mm-hmm. that each contest, as the wins and losses both started to creep up simultaneously, each game started to matter more and more and more. And so as this season sort of progressed, how do you feel you developed both on and off the court as a result of really having to go in and grind out every single game?
It's adversity. It's like be ready to go and be ready to fight every day. And it's just like, you gotta tell yourself that it's not gonna be easy. And so you just working to, we have that goal, with that goal in mind to win, knowing that it's not going to be easy. And it's just like it's different feeling every day you come at practice. You're like, okay, guys, it's not going to be easy. We got to work on that and everything. And we're a pretty young team, but the fact that we still had this mindset of, okay, we're going to work, we're going to fix the mistake and everything. It's just like you have a mindset of, okay, let's work, and we know it's going to be hard, but it's really like, it's really courageous to be like, we're still going to work knowing that we're still going to work as hard as we did, even harder, and knowing that adversity is going to hit at some point. And just like, that's what I like about this team. It's like, we still worked, we still believed, and we still worked towards the goal and everything, even though it was not a great season for Rodina. And it's just like, at the end of the day, we learned a lot. You learn a lot when you have adversity. And it's just like, Coach Tammy said all the time, it's just, you really lose when you're not learning from your mistake. And I think we did. We learned from our mistake. And yeah, I think we did, even though it wasn't like a great season.
And so you have another year of eligibility remaining.
Yeah.
Because you're only a redshirt junior.
Yeah.
And obviously, you still have a lot of time to make a decision. And if you want to stay here, you want to test yourself at a different university. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, just Now, with the experiences that you've had as a Division I basketball player here at the University of Rhode Island, how do you feel in terms of what you want to do after college? Do you now feel that you have the confidence to be able to go test yourself at the professional level in back over in France or some other part of Europe? Or do you have other sort of ideas and aspirations of things you want to do now that you've continued to grow as a person as well and got to experience all of these different new ideas and other things here at URI?
So, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my next year, but the thing is, you know, like, it really, like, showed me, like, what I have to work to be a pro. And it really convinced me that, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to, because it's still like a kind of a pro environment. We have coaches with experience. They play pro overseas here. Coach Damien had a lot of experience in WNBA and everything. And it's just like, you know, like, okay, this is for sure what I want to do. I want to play pro wherever, but I want to be pro. And I know what I have to work on. And it's just like, yeah, it just helped me grow this objective of being a pro and living from basketball, because this is what I love.
And to essentially answer what the overarching question of why I'm doing these interviews is, as a player and as one of the veteran players on this team, you've been there through everything. What do you think has led this team to be as successful as it has been in regard to how poor this program was prior to Coach Reese and Coach Amadou taking over?
I think it's the culture that they built. This culture of Rhode Island, this culture of respect, humility, you respect everyone, it's on and off the court and everything. And so the culture and the relationship that we have with the coaches is a really, really big statement. And the standards that we have, and it's not just standards on the floor, it's the standards that we have off the floor too. For example, like, to be eligible, you need 2.0 of GPA, but Sammy wants us to be above a 3.0, because it's just the standard, it's just the high standards, and also the culture that we have. And I think these two things, it's something that is different in everywhere, and I feel like we have pretty high culture and standards.
And what would be your message for French student athletes that were in your position 4 years ago, knowing what you know now about URI, about college basketball, just about how this whole sort of industry works and how the game has evolved back in France? What advice would you give players that are thinking about making the same decision that you did?
I will say, like, it's not like a big risk that you like, I used to, like, people can say, like, it seems so dangerous or so risky to change, to come from France and to change, like, you changing your country, and you know, but it's just like, it's a bet, and are you ready to bet on yourself and everything? And I know, like, if you stay in France, you're gonna have great stuff too, because it's a big country for basketball and everything. But also, if you come here, you're gonna have different opportunities, and it depends on what you want to do and what you ready to sacrifice to. This is what I say.
All right. Well, Hawa, thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk about all of this. This was fantastic. I really appreciate it. And I really do hope you come back for another year next year. That would be amazing to see you running back and get this program back up toward the top of the Atlantic 10 food chain like it fully deserves to be.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was really fun.
Yeah, well, and to everybody else listening at home, thank you so much. Tune in for more updates on Instagram and Twitter at Marks or Marks Pod. It's the usual, and we'll be back next week with another episode. So stay tuned.